Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you all can do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at AnswersForTheFamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as dynamic co-hosts, discuss ways that you and your loved ones can become happier, healthier, and more at peace. I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or someone that you know who can benefit from a particular subject. Now, I want everybody to know we can all benefit from the subject that we're going to be talking about today. So, And I just want you to know that we appreciate it, because this is just another way that we, together, can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, our topic today is Trapped by Your Mind. It's using NLP to let go of your limiting beliefs and transform your world. Now, my guest co-hosts today are Rachel Cove Hall and Seth Hall, and they're a power couple. And they're founders of Transformational Solutions, and their company coaches individuals, couples, and families using their unique mountain method. And one of their quotes is, "Everyone has a journey, and with their own set of struggles, fears, and emotional difficulties." So, Rachel, Seth,
hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So before we get into our topic, share a little bit about not only what you're doing now, but I know that you have some new things coming up. Share a little bit about that.
Well, you shared that everyone has a mountain and that our method is the mountain method. And we are both sober. We have both struggled with mental health issues. And in saying that everyone has a mountain, it means that we don't have to have this perfect view all the time of what we're supposed to be. So whenever you have a goal, there's going to be challenges that you're going to have to face. And our method is to embrace challenge and look at it as opportunity. Opportunity to grow. You're going to experience. You're falling down, failing. How do you get back up? And that's our method.
I love it. Now, and I know you have something new coming up, and I know we're going to touch on that more when you come back in November. Share a little bit about sort of the new direction you're headed.
So we wrote a workbook. It's called the Mountain Method Workbook, and it's a set of tools that we have used to get to where we are today. We're parents. We are recovering addicts and alcoholics. We work with couples. We work with families. We work with individuals, and everyone is experiencing the same type of experience when it comes to targeting a goal. How do you do it? How do you deal with anxiety when it comes up? How do you deal with self-doubt when it comes up? When you're not feeling confident to go and get a job and talk to the employer, what do you do? You know, I don't like people to give up when they're feeling uncomfortable. I like people embracing feeling uncomfortable, learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, so that's what our whole workbook is about, is not running away or avoiding these difficult experiences, but tackling it head on. And how do you do it? And it's a set of mindset techniques and life skills that we wrote. And we're really, really, really excited for it to get out there.
So, Scott, give an example of the type of family that you're working with now and some of the growth that you've been able to deliver for them.
Sure. So the type of family that we're dealing with now, typically it will be for the family, the children that are sort of struggling either with anxiety, depression, addiction issues, any kind of really mental health issues. So typically what will happen is a family will call us and they'll say, this is, I'm calling about my son or daughter and this is what they're going through. And we will just be there to support. Sometimes the families are out of state, right? Like, so their children will be out here going to school. And we will have somebody who's kind of on the ground with their son or daughter so that we can help to assist and make sure, like, for example, we helped to make sure recently that somebody that was going to school was able to get through all of their finals and complete college and to get their degree, right? Just to make sure, because it can be a stressful time, especially if you're out here on your own, you know? So we do that kind of work. We also help with people who are dealing with addictions, right? So, and we act as a support for that as well.
So, and as I said, I know we're going to go a lot deeper into this when you guys come back. And I know that Jan, our producer, is getting that set up with you to get the right date that fits for you. In the meantime, if there's somebody out there and they're going, wow, I could use that, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so either the website is transformationalsolutions.com or call the toll-free number. It's 877-99-COACH. So...
All right.
877-99-COACH.
Got it. Yes. And one of the reasons why I wanted you guys to be here is because I know that a lot of what you guys do, I looked at, you know, is what you do, and then knowing a little bit about NLP, and I thought, God, this would be a perfect combination to be able to have you come in when our guest was going to be here. So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having us here. I'm so excited to learn about this subject. I am so fascinated, and I think it's going to help so many people to get this topic out there and openly share about it all the time.
Yeah, and I also want to say I've noticed really great success with the clients that I've worked with that are also working with an NLP practitioner. Mm. So I'm also really interested to just kind of hear it from
Yes. From
horse's mouth, you know.
All right. Yeah. So, and for those that are just tuning in, if you're just now tuning in and you didn't hear the initial introduction, so the topic is Trapped by Your Mind, using NLP to let go of limiting beliefs and transform your world. And so to discuss that with us is our guest, Razia Khan. And she has over 20 years of business consulting experience serving Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies around the globe. Her expertise includes information security. She is also a master coach and trainer of hypnosis and a trainer of neuro-linguistic programming, which is the main topic here, and it's known as NLP. So, Razia, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
So, now we've teased everybody a little bit in regards to this whole NLP thing. So, to start off with, can you explain it a little bit so that those listening will understand what we're talking about and how it can transform us?
Sure. So, let's unpack it a little bit. What is NLP? So, I get a lot of calls for NLP from people that are doing artificial intelligence, and that's natural language processing, that is not NLP. So this is about mental health, and this is the theme of NLP is empowerment, and it's neuro-linguistic programming. So basically what you do is the brain has circuitry like this, and the circuitry through stress or, you know, addictions and trauma, whatever different things happen to us, the circuitry starts to break. So what NLP does is it tries to reconnect the neurology in the subconscious mind in the brain. So it is a study of the mind, and it's a study of how do you successfully recreate excellence. And what we do is we use the language of the subconscious mind and we reprogram the subconscious mind so the neurology reconnects, and that's where the healing begins.
And so let me make a sort of an analogy, and it's an incredibly simple one, but if we were looking at our brain as a snow-capped mountain, okay, and I'm envisioning that, so you have a skier or snowboarder for those younger people, and as they come down and they ski down this brain, they're making grooves, and they keep making grooves, and now you have a pathway that almost becomes habit. It's a natural habit to go down these grooves. Would it be correct to describe it as going in and sort of filling in those grooves and making new ones?
Yes. Okay. So putting together the broken connections and reconnecting new ones. Yes. And regrowing new ones. Because when we talk about NLP, we talk about neurotransmitters. The neurons, the neurotransmitters jump from through the synaptic gap from one neuron to the other. And the neurotransmitters carry the information. So it's not just in the brain. The neurotransmitter travel all over the body. And that's where you get the mind-body connection. And that's how you, when the reconnection happens of the neurology, the integration is going to continue for weeks and months and years going on. I have clients even 2-3 years later say, oh my gosh, Razi, I still feel things happening. And it's good stuff.
Now, another thought that comes to mind is that you've heard people say, I carry my stress in my gut. Share a little bit about that. You made me think of it when you said that this is something, we're talking about the whole body, not just the brain. So that person that gets ulcers or that supposedly carries their everything right here, share a little bit about what that means and how they can change that.
So we would have to unpack what that problem really is. And let's just say it's anxiety. Anxiety is usually where traveling in the future. So we can use a technique called timeline therapy invented by Dr. Tad James. We can future pace them and we can go ahead and make that correction so that all that stress and anxiety goes away. And then we can rewire the neurology to create new habits, new ways of thinking. Mm.
Does that include people who have had very deep-rooted childhood trauma?
Yes. So what happens is from age about 0 to 7, and depending on your belief system, it could be past lives or passed on genealogically mm-hmm. through the bloodline, mm-hmm. whatever the belief system is. From age 0 to 7, we live pretty unconsciously as yes. children, and we sort of become an information sponge. We absorb everything and take everything to be true. Mm-hmm. So a lot of time, all of that stuff we've absorbed, it might be something happened to the neighbor, not even in your house, or something you've seen in school, anywhere where you've seen that, you've kind of stored that memory. And then as we become adults, we project those things that we have stored. Mm.
I'm really fascinated by the topic of consciousness and subconscious mind and the unconscious mind. And I'm curious what the difference is between the unconscious mind and the subconscious mind.
Good question, Rachel. So first, most of maybe about 93% or more of what we do is unconsciously. For example, you all woke up today and brushed your teeth and had breakfast and got in your car and drove over here through all the LA traffic. And before you knew it, you were already here. You weren't aware of every mile you drove, right? Mm-hmm. So most of your driving was done unconsciously. Mm-hmm. Just like that, everything we do, getting ready for bed, picking up our kids, everything we do is just about, most of it unconscious. Very few things we do consciously. So the conscious mind is things we do consciously. Unconscious mind is that the subconscious mind where we just, that sponge that just takes pictures and stores sounds and does all of those things in the back. And then the higher conscious mind is as you develop your spiritual, as you open up, as the conscious mind and the unconscious mind start to communicate, your energy ports start to open, so you develop a higher conscious mind, higher intuition, and more spiritual enlightenment. Mm.
I love that. And we have a 2-year-old, so we see what you are talking about. So, I mean, he soaks in everything that we do, everything that we say, he is watching, and he takes it on as his own. And that's why it's really important that we do a lot of self-work on ourselves so that we don't project any of our childhood stuff onto him. And I think it's important to be aware of that as parents. What you're traveling with as a parent, what do you put onto your children?
And I think that poses a great question because, I think a lot of us think about what we're going to do to fix ourselves, but share a little bit about how it affects everybody else around us.
So Carl Jung said the information that's most unconscious in us, we have a need to project it out onto someone around us or on events that are around us. So everything we see, everything we look at, whether it's good or bad, it's all our projections. So as your toddler, you could probably teach him multiple languages and he'll just unconsciously learn it.
Right.
And the decision comes is you have all this information. Our brain is like a database. You store all this information, and what we need to know is what is the relevant information? Because our brain, through our senses, most of the information is distorted. It's generalized, or it's taken incorrectly. So we just distort, delete, and generalize. And so we need to figure out how do we access that information. Mm. And when we are able to access that, what do we do with it? Mm. So what we put out in the world, our behaviors, our actions, whether good or bad, that's what we're doing with that information.
I love that.
Okay. So for somebody that's out there and they're thinking, oh my God, I would love this. How do I do this? How does somebody get involved in something like this? How do they, you know, they take a class. How do they do that? And how long does it take to really see the results?
So that's a good question.
Well, and I realize it can be different for different people.
Right.
But because it's a term that many people aren't aware of, you know, that knowing what it does, but that doesn't necessarily mean they know how to find it now.
Right. So this was, NLP was, it was like a hidden secret, a golden nugget. Only very few people knew. And now as more people know about it, and here I am telling you, this is transformation work. Mm. It's not therapy. Mm. So you can come in and we can do a 4-hour session and you'll be completely transformed. And if you live with 3 other people, those people are going to notice. And I tell people, if you live with a family, either everybody does NLP because the person changes so much. The physiology changes, their actions, their behavior changes. They get rid of limiting decisions, maybe addictions. Their triggers are different. They have a like positive outlook on life. Their eyes start to shine. Everything changes. So when you go home and you're looking at the people and they haven't changed, they're going to notice and you're going to notice. So when you're living with a family, I suggest everybody get it done, and children above 7. Mm. Because there are a lot of logical and rational components to it. You must be able to follow directions. Mm. So we recommend around age 7. So that's one thing. The other thing is you can set up sessions. Say you just have fear of snakes. You can set up just a 1-hour session, and we could probably get rid of that very quickly. A lot of this is explaining what is NLP, how does it work, getting to the technical pieces of it. The modalities are very quick, very efficient. And within 5 minutes, I could get rid of your fear of phobia. Yeah, it's rapid.
I have a terrifying fear of snakes and spiders. We should meet.
Yeah. Well, hey, if we can do it in 5 minutes, let's go.
Let's do it.
And the other thing you can do is you can come and take the practitioner and master practitioner and trainer certifications. And that way you've empowered yourself. You don't pay for extra therapy also. And your personal life, I mean, you grow at an exponential rate. Your business life, you know, your career grows. And then your relationship, you become a magnet for amazing people. Mm. And all the other people that don't belong in your life, they somehow just kind of roll off the grid.
Right.
Yeah.
So with trauma, you know, because from my observations with the clients that I work with and being someone who has experienced and overcome a lot of trauma, you know, they say that when you're experiencing trauma and it's reactivated, you know, your emotions are at a 10, and you want to get back to a regulated emotional state. So does NLP help with that?
Absolutely. And this one we take very delicately. Mm. This is where you have to make sure you have rapport with the person you are working with. Say you're doing therapy, you have to have rapport. You have to feel comfortable with that person. And also NLP is content free. So it's absolutely content free. We don't walk you through the trauma again. Mm. So it's done in a very logical, very rational way. For example, 2 + 2 = 4. And after a while, when we've done this with your brain, the brain says, I know how to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is wasting my time. So it's that quick.
Wow.
Yeah. I love it. Now, you just used the term as far as treatment. How does NLP fit with other treatments? Because there are other treatments that people are going to, and a lot of people that listen are therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists. They're already working with someone. How can they take NLP and add it to what they're already doing and just make things better?
So if you're treating patients for mental therapy, I think this is the shortcut. If you want a shortcut, here it is. And everything's been working. We've been using all the techniques. We value all the techniques. We value all the healers in the world with everything that they've done and the work they've done and all the studies they've put out. But NLP is definitely a shortcut. It will shorten your time span that you work with the client. And also, you're not hard-coding all the negative events into the client's subconscious mind. They have enough already.
Yeah. And I think that's great, because I think in any situation like that, you know, from a therapeutic situation, I think we should go into it, those that are working with a family, they should go into it to wean themselves off. In other words, the whole idea is not to make somebody dependent on them. It is to empower them to be able to do the things themselves. So the idea, if it can shorten therapy, if it can bring on greater results or quicker results, it's a win-win.
Yes, we want to make every person an independent, self-sufficient entity. Even after we do the NLP work with them, we teach them how to do it on their own because we've trained the brain on how to do it. Say if in the future there's some warranted fear. Of course, unwarranted fear, you do want to be fearful and protect yourself and make sure you are safe. But say someone had fear, we want to make sure that the brain knows how to respond to the fear that comes, unwarranted fear. Mm. Yeah. So you are not dependent. You don't have to keep coming to repeat appointments.
And is it when people are being... or experiencing NLP in a session, are they being taught how to feel their emotions? Or if they don't know what's going on, if they are not aware of what the belief is that's limiting them, if it's unconscious, how do you make it conscious?
So we do a personal history. We do a deep dive. We unpack what the problem is. The client might think their problem is a BMW, and it might be a little Hot Wheel. So we try to, big car versus small car, or they might think it's an ocean and it's a river. So we value every client and we try to model their model of the world. And then we help them unpack and really get to the depth of the problem. And then we get to an exact, what is it, fear, is it anger, is it limiting belief, is it limiting decision, is it trauma? And we use different techniques. With trauma, phobia, we make sure that we don't mix the techniques because everything has to be handled in a very... very careful manner, because you are working with the person's subconscious mind. You're going down very deep. And we also use element of a hypnosis just to kind of knock out the conscious facility a little bit so they're not struggling with it. They can just relax and just be able to do the work with us.
Okay. Why don't you give us an example of one of the techniques, just a specific technique that you can kind of walk the listeners through to understand a little bit.
So my daughter started high school first year, nervous. We moved from San Francisco. We were living in San Francisco about 20 years. Then we moved to LA. So everything was new. And she would go into class and then she would do really well, do her homework, and she wouldn't remember anything on the exams. So this is an example of an education if your educator is working with students in any capacity. So what I taught her is how to do what we call the learning state. So I taught her when you walk into the classroom to focus on one object in the room. And when she's focusing on just that object, she's knocking out the conscious facility. So her brain's operating in unconscious mode. That's strange, right? So she's focusing on that one point. And then I've asked her to open her unconscious mind. I even made a sound like this. You just open it. And I say, everything is going in, right? Everything's going in. If you're in the classroom, everything's going. You can't avoid it. Unconscious mind is a sponge. It just absorbs everything. We have so many sight, sound, smell. There's so many ways that the information goes in, right? So I said, store all of that. And when you come home and you're studying for exams, I figured out, I did a eye pattern test on her to figure out where her recall is in her brain. And then once we figured out where her recall is, I told her to put her paper in recall, the paper she's studying, in recall, and to auditorily to sound out the answers of the exam. And also I had her write down the answers so she gets the kinesthetic, the feeling of it as well. And she started getting all straight A's.
So an interesting thought comes up. So if we put that in all schools, then everybody would do better. And they would do it quicker. And so if our school system's goal was to honestly try to make everybody be the best that they can be and not try to bring everybody to a level of mediocrity, they would add this. Or if you go into higher education, if the goal was to help as much as you possibly can, you would put this in unless your goal was to make more money and you wanted to drag it out for as long as you could. So everybody should probably think about that when your child is choosing a particular school or whatever. What is their goal? Is their goal to help your child become the best they can be? Or is their goal to take in as much money as possible? It sounds like this is something you can do for your child. If the school's not going to do it for you, you can do it for your child. And they're not only going to be able to be the best they can be, but they're going to get through it a lot quicker, which in the long run is going to save you some money.
Adding another piece to what you just said, Alan, is the teacher's belief in the students really matter as well. So empowering the teachers to change their belief systems, to change their limiting decisions. Because they did a study where they gave one teacher a classroom and they said, these children are retarded and we don't have a special ed group here and you'll just have to do the best you can and see what they come up with. And all the kids at the end of the year got C's and D's. They took the same students to another teacher and said, these kids are brilliant. You're going to have a hard time even keeping up with them. And all those students, the second semester, the same students got all A's.
Mm. Well, you've heard those studies where they put two plants in a room and someone speaks negatively to one plant, that plant dies, and someone speaks positively to the other plant and it grows beautifully.
And it flourishes.
And it flourishes. I think that's incredible.
And in education, you can work with students with dyslexia. You can teach them how to spell very large words backwards and forwards. And they just, their eyes light up when they learn how to do that very quickly in just one session with us. And ADHD, ADD, we believe there are disenfranchised learners, but we don't believe there are disabilities. There are disabilities, but we feel like we haven't been able to access, either the child hasn't been able to access the brain or someone hasn't taught them how to access it. So once we teach them that, they do outperform.
All right. You know what? We're going to take a break. We've got a couple of listener questions that have come in, so I want to be able to share those as soon as we get back. Now, for those of you, if you want to follow along, you can go to Razia's website. It's raziakhan.com. It's RazIaKhan.com. And you can follow along with us. You can just open up another window on your computer. And you can just hang with us. But we're going to take a break. If you're driving, obviously don't try that. But we'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Our guest is Razia Khan. We are talking about NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. With us also is Scott Hall and Rachel Cove Hall.
Seth.
Seth.
Oh, I'm sorry, Seth. Oh, my God.
Not a problem.
It's okay. Scott's a good name, too.
Yes, yes. And when we took a break, we talked about the fact that we have some listener questions and listener comments. So what we have one that came in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do this because they send them in. Oftentimes they say that they're teachers or something and they can't do it live, so they send it in ahead of time. This one reads, recently I came across an article about using NLP with children to give them a head start with their language skills. This ties right into what we were talking about before. I have two friends with toddlers. Can you recommend if or when and how NLP might be useful for them? And this is from Melody in New York.
So again, NLP, we start after about age 7. Yeah, because the children need to understand logical commands, like put your hand up, only put your hand up when I say put your hand up, put your hand down, only put your hand down. So when you try to explain that to a toddler, they get confused.
You know, and my thought, in fact, and I was going to ask you the question to share a little bit about matching and pacing. And it's one of the things that I've used in training my own staff when they're working with at-risk teens. Share a little bit about matching and pacing. But my thought was, when I read the question, I thought matching and pacing might be something that would even work with younger kids if that's all we're focusing on.
Yes. So there are ADHD and ADD children that you can work with. And autistic children, for example, if say a child is banging on something because they like that sensitivity or the noise, and they're banging on something, you can grab something else and start banging.
Yes.
Start banging with them. And they'll first give you a strange look, and then they'll realize that you're kind of building rapport with them. So that's one example. So absolutely, you can mirror their body language. You can match their body language. You could also use it in sales. For example, say your sales numbers are down. You could teach your sales people how to do matching and mirroring, even on the phone, to pick up a client's tonality, their pitch, and how fast or slow they're talking, the depth of the voice. So if someone's speaking really slow and really deep, and you do the same, you're going to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And share a little bit about when somebody is at a level of high anxiety, because I think that's where you know we run into it more if we're dealing with clients, is that someone is of high anxiety, and talk a little bit about how we can go in and match them, and as you said, in tone or in cadence, yeah. And we can match them and bring them down to a level that we can now talk on a better level.
So anxiety, actually, I don't like to match anyone's anxiety. But sure, we can talk about the physiology. Say you're sitting in front of me, and I can sense you are experiencing a lot of anxiety right now with me. So your arms are crossed right now, and I might cross my legs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be obvious because you might put the person off. You want to show them that you're respecting them and not really coming. So say you have your hand up like this, and I might use the other hand and put it up like this. Or again, the voice matching, right? If they're talking slow, talk slow. If they're talking deep, go deeper. If they're talking really fast, sometimes I want to just get through a conversation and say, okay, just give me the information. I get really frustrated when people go really, 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 really slow. So I'm like, roll it up, because my brain works really fast and I absorb information super quickly and you're in a rush. And so if that person would just speak faster and just get the information out, I'm so happy. I'm probably going to do whatever they want me to do.
Right. But so what you're saying, though, is that through your speech, you're able to ramp them up, to speed them up. Because if you're in a hurry, they're going slow. If you start at their level, and as you start to go faster, they're now going faster because you've now matched them and you've paced them up with you, which now, in that case, is to make yourself feel more comfortable, but it also gets both of you through it.
Very good. And also, you know, people want to tell you their entire 30-year history, which I empathize with, but it's not necessary. And also it adds to the bill of therapy. So what I do is I immediately change I have an open posture. I make sure my voice is positive. I make sure my positive energy is flowing. And I make them look up, which means they're in the recall or their create. If they're looking down, they're probably in their feeling. So if they're already feeling sad, I have them immediately look up. So they start either creating pictures or, you know, looking at pictures, something different. So I keep my tone positive, and then they start to follow. So if you lead that way, leading is one. If you lead that way, the client will usually start to follow.
See, I love that, especially the idea of leading from a positive standpoint.
Yes.
With so much negativity being put out there, to be able to shift them into a positive outlook of whatever situation they're in, I think is beautiful.
Do you think there's something beneficial to teaching them how to feel their feelings, though? Like, if people are very blocked and they need to learn how to feel their feelings, a lot of children grow up in families where they weren't allowed to feel. They hold everything in and then become really tense, and then we wonder where anxiety comes from.
So again, that's the Rosarian style, but the NLP is quick technique.
Okay.
We don't allow them to feel. We just allow them to take the lessons. In major emotions like anger, sadness, hurt, guilt, all those major emotions. But when it comes to grief, that's when we allow them to feel. They have to be able to cry out the grief.
So when you go back to the limiting belief system from whatever experiences there were during childhood, do you notice how long does it take? It seems to me that it's very mathematical, neurolinguistic programming. You're just kind of like going in, taking out an old belief system, putting in a new one, right?
We help them take the lessons from the old belief system, and we create new neurological patterns in the subconscious mind.
Interesting. So does it, how, I guess my question is, how much does, do you notice the actions changing right away, the behavior, I suppose, right away in them, or is there something that it takes time?
So the very first thing is physiology. So we look at the physiology. Their cheeks might get a little rosy because they're flushed. The circulation happens, and their eyes are becoming more shiny, more active, and their body changes, and the language they're using changes. And but they're kind of going, whoa, whoa. In their mind, they're kind of going, well, because it's happening so fast, and we warn them it's going to happen fast. And then that's just the stepping stone as you go home and through the weeks, and it continues to integrate because now the neurotransmitters are flowing all over the body, all over the neurons. So many new neurological connections have been made. So it continues.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of the clients that we work with have addiction issues. And so it's I love learning new modalities to try to implement immediately, you know, something that's immediate that can work, you know, because they do live. I find that a lot of addiction, the root of it is trauma and shame. So if they can start learning to live in a different state, because shame is something is inherently wrong with me, but if they can live in a different state, you know, and be taught through that, through NLP, it could be life changing. Where Absolutely. They don't have to be ashamed of who they are anymore.
So that's a good point. And just to build one more point on top of that, we unpack all the way to the emotion. Everything in this world is emotionally driven.
Yes.
Everything, whether it's terrorism and all these shootings we have. So we want to correct our true war on terrorism. If we really want to win this, is making the corrections inside, the emotional corrections. Mm. So we unpack it to get to the root cause. What is the root emotion that's causing this addiction?
Right.
Then we use different modalities. We change either a state, change a behavior, or take the lessons, whatever it is we need to do. And sometimes it's multiple modalities.
So do you find that with people with addiction, it takes a little bit longer?
It depends on the person.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on the person's ability to follow directions. Mm. And it depends on the, say, we're talking therapy, the therapist's belief in the system, and the person, because say there's a coil, okay, copper coil. I'm a copper coil and I have three winds. And you're attached to me, Alan, and you're a copper coil. You have six wires, okay? So I'm going to send an AC current, just three to you. And you're going to put out 6 volts. I'm sending a 3-volt current. You're going to put out 6 volts. Just my little bit belief in the client empowers the client to do voluminous things. Does
100%.
That make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's
a great analogy as well. We've got another listener question, and this one is, says, I've been using NLP for several years and just love how it has helped my anxiety levels and decision-making process. I have a dear friend who is recently coming out of a very abusive marriage, and she was just terribly overwhelmed. I've been sharing how NLP changed my life, and I'll be listening to your show, and I'm asking her to do the same. I was wondering if you can speak to the stress and anxiety level specifically to someone coming out of an abusive situation. This says, thank you so much. And this is from Robin in Los Angeles.
Robin, you're very welcome. And thank you for asking this question. Just a quick lifeline I can throw at you for your friend is help them to get into a yoga or meditation class just to slow down the overactive mind. Even before NLP, because I can, when people come in to do NLP, whether it's a business or a therapy client, or they just need some coaching, the very first thing I do is I make sure the mind has slowed down. So I do hypnosis. You could just have them look up a bunch of YouTube videos, spa or meditation music, and just have them constantly, constantly, constantly listen to that. It goes right in the subconscious mind. They can do it while they're cooking, cleaning. They don't even have to pay attention to it. They can put it on and go to sleep. So that will help just to kind of throwing a quick lifeline, and then do, you know, find an NLP coach they can work with, and also immediately build an emotional toolkit, what I call an emotional toolkit. For example, I feel anxious. What are the 10 things that I can do topically, just at the physical level, to get me through the day so I don't put that toxic behavior out onto someone else, or I get it deeply rooted, more deeply rooted into my subconscious mind. For example, I'm human. Even though I've been trained and I train other people, I still have those human emotions. If I feel sadness, I love to go to the beach. I'm under the water. I'm in the sun. I get all that energy. I come back just completely refreshed. That's one of my toolkits. So help your friend find the top 5 to 10 things that the person can do just to kind of something to turn to. Maybe they like to write. Maybe they like to sing. Again, these are very topical. This is just a little bit of proactive management, but eventually they do need to come and do an LP, and within a day we should be able to get rid of most of those things, and maybe a follow-up. Sometimes we do the full cleaning, and in the session the client will say, no, I don't feel that. Do you feel sadness? No, I don't feel that. So they'll convince us and we believe them, and then a few days later, because all the other emotions came out, now the unconscious mind said, I'm gonna push up one more, just one little thing you got to deal with, and then they come back for a quick maybe 2 minute or 5 minute.
Now, there's been various numbers that have been thrown out on how long it takes to set up a new habit. So with something like NLP, how much reinforcement is needed so that people don't backslide?
I'll tell you what's going on. People just set goals. People don't set outcomes. That's what happens with traditional therapy as well. You just set goals and you go home. You need to set outcomes. And when we set outcomes, we put a lot of power in the outcomes through NLP, by using NLP. We do the visuals, the kinesthetic, auditory. We use several different techniques to focus on the outcomes. And then we also have them put it on their timeline. So there's a lot that goes on that it's to break a habit. It gets harder to break a habit, actually, because so many inductions and so much work we do with them.
Right. So you're saying, so it's harder to break a habit than it is to create a new habit.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Break a good habit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So just to kind of, so the thought then would be, if you, okay, what I like, you didn't put a number on it. And I like that. So by not putting a number, in other words, if you tell somebody, as there are numbers out there, and I'm not picking any one because I don't want anybody to grab onto that number, but by not giving them a number, you know, so if they go into some other types of therapy and they go, okay, well, it's going to take this long, and they give them that number, are they really setting them up to only get results after they reach that number?
Yeah, like I said, I value all the healers and all the people that work to empower people. With NLP, we help the client decide what is the outcome timeline. So if they want to achieve something in 30 days, they commit to that, and then we work with the outcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you, in essence, you're letting them put the number on.
Yes.
You're not putting
a
number.
Say you want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. We ask them, when do you want to lose it by? I want to lose it by 6 months. We make sure it's you know,
achievable.
Ethical, it's ecological, it's good for the client, the environment, our happy planet. Mm-hmm. But we make sure it's achievable. Yes, it's measurable, it's achievable, it's attainable. We do all those checks.
Do you find, because we struggle with this with our clients sometimes, when they meet with us, they're extremely motivated because we're quite motivating. You know, our energy is very positive, and, you know, we have experienced a lot of positive results. But when they leave us and they don't have that person there in that moment to tell them to switch your habit, you're doing something that's not beneficial for you, this is what you should do instead. When we're not with them, sometimes they struggle with getting into that routine. So how do you deal with that?
So that's where NLP, once we reconnect the neurology, it's reconnected. So it's communicating. The mind, body, everything starts communicating. Neurotransmitters keep flowing through the synaptic gap. Right? The synaptic gap. The neuron shoots a transmitter across. So with psychology, we try to do it with a lot of talk therapy. And with psychiatry, we try to get the neurotransmitter to go across the synaptic gap with medicine, right? With NLP, we connect the neurology so fast that they feel it in their physiology right away. Then when they go home, they don't feel like, oh my gosh, where did she go? So again, it's self-sufficient, creating a self-sufficient client.
Now, as you're saying that, the thought comes to mind that something helped them get to that point. Not in all cases, but in most cases. So if you have somebody, and we'll use the term somebody that's in a dysfunctional family, and because we do a lot of work with teenagers. So the teenager goes out and goes to a program, learns a new way of doing things, But if they go back into a dysfunctional situation, in the same sense that you're able to make these things fit, I assume there's other people can now tear that down again. So how would you set up either a refresher is the right thing, but something along the lines to where you're keeping them going in that same focus, even when, because we're all going to be around people that are negative, right. you know, so, I mean, we can't go into a bubble to where, we're not going to be around it. And we're all going to be around people that may take us to, in a way that allows us to backslide. How can we keep that moving forward?
Sure. I had a woman, she said, this is a very busy season for me. When I sit in front of women, I feel like they're looking at, when I sit in front of men, I feel like they're looking at me. So when we did all the emotional, we did the NLP on all the emotions, she no longer felt that. So a person that's living in a situation, when they're going to go back, either we will put, what do I call it? You touch someone, there's a triggers we can put. Like if you touch your earlobe, you're going to feel this state. Anchors. Yes. We put anchors.
I like
it. We anchor them. So you know you're walking into this negative situation. You're going to touch your earlobe and it's going to create excitement. And we really drill down in putting the anchor. We spend a lot of time putting anchors. Actually, it's a technique that takes me the longest. So we do a lot of work to put in different types of anchors. So when they walk in, instead of this emotion of anger or emotion of trauma or fear, what emotion they're feeling as they walk into the house, they're going to shoot off the anchor and they're going to feel safe, or they're going to feel, of course, it's warranted safety.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So if they need to feel unsafe, they will feel unsafe. But if it's just something they're internalizing, then those we can change by changing the internal states with the anchors on the body.
And it seems to me that if you've new belief systems, I think you've said it before, those kind of maybe relationships or situations that you're going to be putting yourself into, if you have new belief systems, it implies new actions, and maybe you're acting like you love yourself, so you won't maybe put yourself into those situations, or you'll find a way to.
Very good. So either what I see is, if it's say family of four and one person came out and did NLP, and they're going back to the toxic group, either they're going to leave the group or they're going to stay in it, and eventually neurology will break if you stay there long enough, because we can clean up everything up to today. And if you don't practice in the future, you know, how to control that, which we do train you, but if you just kind of let it go, then they can re-break your neurology over time.
Yeah. So coming in and getting a refresher from time to time would be very beneficial for those people that maybe are in a, you know, in a difficult situation, you know, as far as, you know, in other words, coming back in and kind of reattach everything. the neurons.
Yeah.
You know, get them back to reattach where they were supposed to.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. So
okay.
People change, and they either change their situation or they change how they're going to cope with it. Yeah.
Makes good sense.
Yeah. Or they physically relocate.
Yeah.
And it's not just physical relocation, it's logical relocation. Yeah.
I think I was understanding what you were saying. You know, a lot of workshops that we run, the people are very addicted to the addict lifestyle. So when there's a new lifestyle, they get very unconsciously in fear and they sabotage it. So, you know, like Seth used to be homeless when he was on drugs. You know, he's no longer homeless. He changed his lifestyle. He changed his environment, and he started to believe he was worthy, whereas before he was unworthy. So I think it speaks to exactly your experience of changing the way that you were viewing you and your life.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do you want to go back to the homeless life? Live the way you lived during that time now?
No.
Your unconscious mind immediately says no, right?
Right.
So it's already made the neurological connection and says, I'm not doing this.
Yes.
It's so logical to you.
Yeah.
Where before, even though you lived in that situation for a period of time, you still accepted it. You were there.
Right? I don't know how, but I did, yeah.
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 That's a great point.
Well, it was like normalized.
Yes.
When you were in it, it was normal for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was something else that I thought of, which made me think of the family system. Also, so like what you were kind of touching on, where one person is doing the work on themselves. And if it seems to me that if everybody, if the whole family, so like a lot of parents will be like, what can I do to help my kids, right? And sometimes they'll do everything except for work on themselves.
Right.
So I was wondering how neurolinguistic programming can help not only the people who are struggling with addictions or whatever it is, but also the families as well.
Yes. So again, people have to volunteer to come. So sometimes parents will even, I had a mother who sent in three sons, and two of them really wanted to do it. And one, I said, do you really want to be here? And he said, no. I said, why don't we do it when you're ready? It's, I cannot do NLP to someone. So it's a do with process.
Sure.
So it has to be voluntary. So just giving them the technical aspects and how it works and how wonderful, and just being a role model. Look what happened with these two people. I've had people with broken relationship 15 years and they say, we reconnected. I had a woman with 30 years. She lost her mother 30 years ago. And she was, her emotion just kept her from moving forward. So she said, I went to therapy. I did yoga. I did art of living. She said, I've done everything. And then she did NLP.
Yeah.
And that's what worked. You know what? I got to tell you, unfortunately, we are out of time, but we're all having so much fun that we should just continue this.
Yeah,
but I think they're going to cut us off the air anyway. But anyway, just I want to thank you so much and just honor you for the fact that you are making a difference. And that's what we want, you know, with everything that we're trying to do with the show and with the people that we want to have involved is making a difference, a positive difference in the lives of people. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And for those people that are listening, how can they get a hold of you if they're going, ding, 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 I need to do this?
Yeah, you can go on my website, www.raziakhan, R-A-Z-I-A-K-H-A-N. com. And there's a little tiny little form you can fill out. Tell me what you need done. And we could probably do a quick consultation to figure out what it is that right. we need to do.
And for those of you that are driving out there and you can't write that down, if you go to the Answers for the Family site, we will also have that information for you.
But more than that, I encourage corporate leaders, tone at
yes.
the top, to start and start sending your folks, use your training budgets. And believe me, this will have the best return on your investments.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And thank you guys for being here. And for everybody out there, if you want to hear more about what Seth and Rachel are doing, they're going to be back with us and we're going to do the whole show on transformation.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Favorite subject.
All right. So for everybody out there, be with us next week because we are going to be joined by Dr. Dana Lee Bagley to discuss Healthy Habits Suck.
Oh.
I know. Well, and the name of the book, doing that, is just a way to obviously get everybody's attention.
That's
because
right.
the subname is How to Get Off the Couch and Live a Healthy Life, even if you don't really want to.
Trick us.
So, I know. And for those out there, please visit our archives of past shows at Answers for the Family to be able to make comments or let us know what you like or don't like about them. If you want to subscribe to the show, you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Speaker, and now our newest platform, iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people. I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please check out what we're posting, make a comment, leave a review, and join us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.